Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. This episode, along with every episode of the Raptors Over Everything Podcast, is brought to you by our sponsor, KFC. So, I'm recapping the Toronto Raptors' 98-97 loss to the Oklahoma City Thunder on Sunday afternoon or Sunday night at Scotiabank Arena. It wasn't the most fun game, I'm tell you that much. It was a clear letdown from what they did, last night against the Celtics. If you just compare, the execution, if you compare the effort, if you compare pretty much every facet of the game, they just did it a lot better against the Celtics. And I guess in a way that's kind of understandable. Like, you're definitely motivated to play that game. You just lost to them. You got 2 days of rest. You want to see what you can do against that team and make a prove a point. And then you come home after riding that huge high and you come back. And I don't know. I guess it's just kind of human to not be as sharp. And that's not making excuses, but it is kind of notable because it is strange. One of the hallmarks of this Raptor team is that on a night-to-night basis, you know what you're going to get from them. They play really hard. They execute really well. And generally speaking, that's how they get by despite not having an overabundance of talent, especially with all these injuries right now. But, this was just, it's not to make excuses for the team. It's just they should have won this game. It was a very winnable game. It came down to a really, really dumb error at the end, which kind of made for a disappointing ending, but also kind of a fitting ending to a game like this, right? Because, the Raptors on their home floor, they were favored by 5 points coming into this game. Should have just got the job done. The Thunder, they're also shorthanded as well. Didn't have Dennis Schroeder, didn't have Danilo Gallinari. Those are two of their best scorers. They had to rely on, guys like Darius Bazley and Terrence Ferguson and, Abdel Nader and, Lou Dort coming off the bench. Like, it's just, it's not like they had a huge assortment of, it's not like they had James Harden and Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant and Serge Ibaka or whatever like that. They didn't even have Kendrick Perkins, to be honest. Whatever, it happens. It's a letdown. It's a letdown game for the Raptors. And, in terms of the ending, unfortunate, it really did come down to Terrence Davis, who had a chance to foul Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So Shai, who had an amazing, amazing game, but Shai collected a defensive rebound, obviously, with the Raptors down one, shot clock turned off. In that situation, 100 out of 100%, you foul. Maybe if you're in a good situation, you try to trap. Maybe you try to force them to move the ball a little bit. Maybe if they try to raise up the floor, maybe trap them in your half court. Maybe. But for the most part, you're just fouling. The most simple situation is you're fouling, stop the clock, you extend the game. Raptors had timeouts. They could do something with that. However, even though Shai grabbed the rebound in traffic and was hounded up the floor by Terrence Davis, Terrence Davis was step by step with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander going up the floor. And during that entire time, he did not foul. On the time the Raptors finally got the foul off, I think it was McCaw, whoever they ended up catching up to him, but 10 seconds on Warnoff. So Shai got the rebound, 13 seconds left in the game, down one. Raptors let 10 seconds go off the clock, and a lot of that is just Terrence Davis forgot the situation, forgot the score. Not quite a J.R. Smith in the finals moment, but, it's like a cousin, a distant cousin of that one. It's a rookie mistake. I feel for Terrence because, he played pretty well to get to that point. The reason he was in the game to begin with, to close that game, is because he had hit some key three-pointers in the third quarter and also one in the fourth. And it very much felt like the Raptors needed that scoring boost from Davis, and especially that shooting from Davis. And so Nurse decided, my rookie's playing well. The rest of my guys, admittedly, they just aren't. let me try to see what he can do out there. And you know, he got burned a little bit. He got burned. It's a rookie mistake. It happens. I'm sure he feels terrible about it. You know, Nurse was asked about it after the game, obviously. And yeah, I mean, Nurse was like, 100% you foul in that situation. And my guy probably forgot the score. You know, forgot the situation. But, you know, again, it happens. It's frustrating. I don't want to put the whole loss on him because it's not on Terrence Davis. It's not. It's just the timing of that was unfortunate. But, you know, you look at the Raptors defensively, you know, they did okay. They could do better, especially against a team like the Thunder who didn't have that many options left. It's a little strange to me that Nick would have the team double team and trap and stuff like that against other teams. But in a situation like this, where if you look at who was available for the Thunder tonight, you know, in terms of, again, no Schroeder and no Danilo Gallinari, and honestly, the rest of the team, not very good in terms of shooters. You can leave them open for the most part. A little surprising to see the Raptors not trap more often. You would think if this was a situation where you would trap a lot. You would trap someone like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You would trap someone like Chris Paul, especially when they're going up in lineups where it's, you know, mostly them and guys who would normally come off the bench. And that just didn't happen, which was, you know, it was a little weird. It was a little weird to me that it didn't happen. And, you know, defensively, the Raptors had a hard time containing those point guards. You know, if it wasn't Shai, who was just killing in the first half, it was Chris Paul, who was really killing in the second half. You look at the game-winning basket, you know, Shai is able to get downhill. He's able to go around Fred VanVleet on the help and finish over the top of, I think, Ibaka, who was closing out at the rim. The ball managed to bounce in. That was not necessarily a breakdown because this is a tough shot, but still, you don't want to see the guy who has 30 points already going downhill for a layup. That's not necessarily what your defense was designed to do there. And, you know, even, you know, just even in general, it just felt like the Raptors could have had more defensive discipline in a game like this. But, you know, ultimately, what really let them down was the offense. Like, the Raptors only generated 97 points. The pace, in terms of the execution, and how sharp and how crisp everything was against the Celtics, none of that translated over to this game. The Raptors were real slow, couldn't get out in transition very much. You know, their guards didn't really do a great job of getting downhill. A lot of the Raptors' offense, especially since Siakam and Marc Gasol have gone down, has been predicated on Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet, you know, whopping out of the pick and roll, getting to the rim, and, you know, collapsing the defense, kicking it out, or just creating something. And Fred and Kyle were okay. I mean, both of them had 20 points and combined for 13 assists. And if they won the game, I'd be probably singing their praises. But as such, they lost the game. And, you know, you look at it, it wasn't the most efficient outing by the offense as a team, really, when you look at it. You know, the Thunder made a very smart call to just collapse the paint. Like, basically, Steven Adams is in the paint the entire time. And if it wasn't Steven Adams, it was Nerlens Noel who was in the paint all the time. And it was hard for the Raptors to score in the sense that just like, man, they just like, the floor was just always so small against the Raptors. Guys like Chris Paul were helping generously off guys like Pat McCaw. Whenever O'Shea Brissett was in the game, he wasn't really guarded. Rondé was very briefly in the game, wasn't really guarded. And it really hurts on those nights when a guy like OG Anunoby goes 0-for-7 from 3. You know, the Thunder did allow the Raptors to shoot a lot of threes, and the Raptors, you know, hit a pretty good number of them. If you told me the Raptors hit 15 threes, I'll tell you they probably win, and they're probably scoring over 100 points, and that didn't happen today. But what the Thunder did a really good job of was keeping the Raptors off the offensive glass, and also they did a really good job of not fouling the Raptors. The Raptors only shot 12 free throws on the night, and it's not even like it's such a bad show. Like, there was a terrible Chris Paul travel, but even that, they like the referees like, yes, that was a huge mistake, but then they immediately gave Fred VanVleet a makeup call and he hit 2 free throws, so it's all even. But yeah, the Thunder just did a really good job of just like walling off at the paint, protecting, and it just kind of really, you know, put a dent to the Raptors' offense. And, you know, it's just, I mean, what do you expect? Do you think Fred VanVleet's going to score consistently over Steven Adams driving at him? Probably not. And, you know, it's just, it wasn't a great day for the offense. You look at the way Nick Nurse closed the game, that's really indicative of how bad the offense was, because he had Serge Ibaka at center and surrounding him, the four point guards on the roster. you know, McCaw obviously is, as Kyle Lowry explained after the Celtics win, McCaw is sort of mostly a point guard. And the guys that were on the floor were Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet, Patrick McCaw, and Terrence Davis. Like, you basically had a point guard playing power forward. That's how tough it was to open the floor up for the Raptors. And it's just, you know, the Raptors scored 17 points in the fourth quarter. The execution down the stretch just wasn't there. I thought one of the key things there to note was that Kyle looked really tired. Like, there's one possession where I think maybe 4 minutes left in the game, something like that. But Kyle had been out there to start the fourth quarter. And, yeah, man, couldn't even make it past half court. The Raptors just had to call a timeout just to get him a breather. And it's understandable, of course, man. Kyle has really been carrying a massive, massive load. He leads the NBA minutes played. He's averaging over 38 per game. No one else in the NBA is doing that right now. And, yeah, he had those 11 games off because he broke his, you know, that finger in his hand or whatever. But, like, man, he's carrying a huge load. And, you know, in the fourth quarter there, I think he largely deferred to Fred VanVleet to run the offense. And, you know, Fred can run the offense. You know, he's definitely shown leaps there. In the fourth quarter, Fred did do some scoring. I'm not going to say he was shut out or anything like that because that's just flat out not true. But at the same time, the structure of the offense when Fred runs it versus when Kyle runs it is just a little different. Kyle is just a little bit more dynamic. He creates a little bit more for other people. He creates off different situations. You know, Kyle sometimes gets his own offensive rebound and put it back in. Or you'll drive to the rim and do a little, like, post-up move and score. It's just Kyle has this, like, more savvy and experience in his game, whereas Fred isn't quite the same way. And if you look at the way Fred closed out the game, he hit those two free throws, but in the fourth quarter, Fred, 0-4 from the field, 0-2 from three, and, you know, it is what it is. And the Raptors as a whole in the fourth quarter, 5-14 from the field. Again, it was a winnable game, but, again, it's just the sharpness that they had against the Celtics that was so refreshing to watch. It was absent tonight. It was absent tonight. And, again, these games will happen. These games will happen. But, for the most part, you know, you tip your cap to the Thunder. They played a really good game. They were locked in. They were focused. Never really gave up on the game. The way Billy Donovan staggered the rotation to have Chris Paul or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on the floor at all times. Those two guys were consistently getting the Raptors problems. And they got just enough from the rest of the team to squeak by with a very shorthanded roster on the road. It's a very good win for the Thunder. It really is. And for the Raptors, you know, they could have been better. And they could have won the game, man. I don't think ordinarily you play this game like, I don't know, man. You play this game 100 times, Raptors probably win 70 of them. But, you know, just is what it is. In terms of the positives from this game, I mean, McCaw? I don't know, man. McCaw, I mean, McCaw was 2 of 2 from the field in the fourth quarter, hit a three from the corner, hit another three from the opposite corner. That was reviewed. He had a foot on the line, took a point off, which actually became a very important play because the Raptors lost the game by 1 point. But yeah, McCaw, you mean, I liked his decision making. I liked his willingness to shoot the ball. Again, the biggest thing is just he needs to shoot the ball. And when he shoots, it doesn't look that bad. Like, I don't know why there is a big willingness for him to shoot. I mean, he's open a lot. Defenses are definitely still leaving him. Even though he had 18 points against the Celtics, they're like, that's probably a one-off. They're leaving him. And today he had 13 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 5 of 9 from the field, 3 of 5 from deep. He's just got to shoot. He's got to operate. And, he was all right. Again, we're judging by a very low standard. I think, generally speaking, people still are not fully convinced about Pat McCaw. And he was okay today. I would say defensively, he tried really hard against Shai, but Shea's just one of those rare players that is just like has, you know, Nick Nurse talked a lot about Shai before the game. Nick actually, before the game actually started, normally coaches would speak an hour, 45 minutes before tip-off, but Nick's pregame press conference got delayed by half an hour. I don't know why that was, but just to fill the time, I was sort of standing around the court, and Nick came out and sat courtside, which is very rare before the game. And usually if he does that, he's meeting and greeting some people. Maybe it's like a fan engagement thing. Maybe someone rich guy's family's here and he wants to meet Nick. Whatever. I don't know. That's usually what happens. But Nick was sitting courtside, and he spent the whole time watching Shai shoot the ball, warm up. And when Shai was done with the warm-up, he came over, greeted Nick. It was a very quick greeting, but, you know, they made sure to connect. And, you know, that's obviously the connection there is Team Canada. You know, Shai was one of the few players that came out on social media right after Jamal Murray had tweeted out that he was going to participate in the upcoming 2020 Olympic World Cup or Olympic qualifying tournament in Victoria, BC, next June. Shea committed, and you know, Nick is coaching the team, so they got together. And you know, Nick then went from there to the press conference where, again, he said a lot of great things about Shea. You know, he foreshadowed the game basically by saying Shea has like the quickest first step in the league, and he's really, really good at, even though he's got that first step to blow by guys, but then he's able to deaccelerate, make plays, whether that's kicking it out or just like scoring. He's got a great mid-range game, got a great in-between game, got floaters, stuff like that. And yeah, I mean, that's exactly what happened. Shea was phenomenal from start to finish. Yeah, and McCaw, you know, had the assignment against Shea. That's why McCaw was a minus 10, is because Shea was so hard to guard. And it's not like McCaw was getting just absolutely killed. It was just Shea was that good. Like, McCaw was in position making it tough for Shea, but Shea was making some really difficult shots. And, again, you just got to say great game, man. Shea was freaking phenomenal. 39 minutes on the home floor that, you know, he grew up, he's Toronto native. He grew up a lot in Hamilton. Shout out to Hamilton, by the way. But, yeah, I mean, you know, he grew up watching the Raptors. He was asked about his favorite moments of the Raptors growing up watching the team, and he struggled to come up with some. And, you know, I think that's more of a reflection of the Raptors being so bad during his childhood. But, yeah, I mean, you know, he's a local guy. And he had a lot of family in the crowd. Got a huge cheer when his face was shown on the Jumbotron. His name was called. He was cheered when his face was shown on the Jumbotron. Him and Lou Dort got a Hometown Heroes celebration trophy, like a tribute video. The Raptors have been doing that for all the Canadian players in the NBA. And, yeah, you know, Shea's just – he's the man, honestly. Like, if you haven't been watching already this year, this isn't like a one-off from Shea. Just, you know, just I hope people know that. Like, Shea has been stellar this year. You know, he's really come into his own. He's averaging this year 19.8 points per game, shooting 46% from the field, 36% from deep. You know, the rebounds are there, the playmaking's there. He's a good defender as well. And when you watch this game, you kind of really notice that, like, the Thunder don't actually have that much offense around him. Like, he gets a screen from Steven Adams or Nerlens Noel. That's pretty much the extent of playmaking that the Thunder do for him. Occasionally, Chris Paul will kick it out to him, but it's just like anyone else. You get a kick out, you hit a three, whatever. But that doesn't happen all the time. So that makes it extremely impressive that Shea's averaging 20 because he's attacking and creating most of this by himself. So he was great. He was great. You know, I'm happy for him. He might already be the best Canadian player in the game. I know Wiggins is more established as a scorer. And, you know, Jamal Murray has sort of had that title for a little bit. But I just think Shea is a more complete scorer than Jamal. Definitely more consistent scorer. And also Jamal gets to play with a guy like Jokic, who opens up the floor, passes great. That's huge. Whereas, you know, Shea's, again, working pick and roll with Nerlens Noel. It's just a little tougher. But, you know, he was really good. And what else? Positives in this game. O'Shea Brissett got some minutes. He got 18 minutes. That's largely a reflection of OG just getting benched. Like, he was just really, really bad offensively. You know, the Raptors had a couple of really nice passing sequences. One where Pat McCaw threw this wicked pass to OG in the corner, and it was like the whole crowd was like, oh! And he missed. It was Pat Patterson-esque, I gotta say. Yeah, and I feel for OG because, like, defensively, he's making a couple plays. He's not as impactful as he was to start the year, but I think also teams are not going at him as much as they were earlier. But, you know, he made plays defensively, which, again, is his job. It's nothing that spectacular. But, yeah, offensively, it just wasn't enough, man. The guy's 0 of 7 from 3. Shout out my guy, Big V, friend of the pod, obviously. But he tweeted out a pretty, pretty, pretty damning thing during the game as I was sitting beside him. He tweeted out that OG has made 11 of his last 60 three-point attempts, which is 18.3%. And then I looked deep into the numbers. The last five games, OG Anunoby has hit 10% of his threes. It's been tough. Today, 0 of 7. And honestly, again, like I described earlier, Thunder were really packing the paint. And when you have that happening, you just got to take him out of the game. And yeah, it sucked. So OG didn't really play him that much because of his misfiring from deep. Rondi was kind of just a disaster. I mean, he played 3 minutes, was stable to the bench right after that. In those 3 minutes, he committed three fouls and had two turnovers. How is that possible to have three fouls and two turnovers in 3 minutes? And when Rondi came out of the game, he knew he was not going to come back in because he just took his headband off and he whipped it to the scorer's table and he just like sauntered and sat at the end of the bench. And I felt for the guy, really. It's just frustrating. He just played a game yesterday where he fouled out. He had like 5 minutes, four fouls in the first half. Ends up fouling out on a BS call by Tony Brothers. And then the night after, it's even worse somehow. So Rondi was bad, and the recipient of that was O'Shea Brissett, who got to play extended minutes, 18 minutes, again for the two-way call-up. And really, it's not like O'Shea did that much. Like, the rebounding wasn't quite there. You know, he scored twice, but, you know, mostly spoon-fed sequences. He missed an open three, whatever, in those 18 minutes. But you know what he did? He did provide mistake-free basketball, which is something you couldn't really expect from Rondi. I don't see it as a long-term thing. I think Rondi is going to have that spot. And on days where Rondi is clearly struggling, Brissett will come in. But didn't mind O'Shea. He's got some extended run there. Terrence Davis had some threes, but of course he had that mistake at the end, which really, really did suck. I thought Serge could have done more in a game like this. He did a lot. Don't get me wrong. Serge did a really good job. I mean, he got more rebounds than Steven Adams. Not easy to do. Serge got 14 rebounds. Steven Adams had 6. Nick Nurse made sure to tether Ibaka's minutes to Steven Adams. So whenever Steven came out of the game, Ibaka will come out of the game. And most of that was just to avoid Steven Adams, like, who's basically three times as strong and thick as Chris Boucher. To avoid that matchup. And it worked great. Steven Adams was not that effective tonight. 9.6 rebounds, 2 steals, a block. Played good defensively, but offensively wasn't as impactful as you could otherwise be. Large that is just Serge, really exhausting himself getting all those defensive rebounds. But at the same time, I really wanted to see more of offensively out of Serge tonight, man. In a night where everyone's packing the paint, you kind of need your bigs to step out there, pick and pop for jumpers. And normally, that's what Serge Ibaka would love to do. But that just wasn't there for him. He didn't really have a lot of those sequences. He did hit 2 threes, which is nice, but you needed to hit more than 2 threes to sort of open up the floor. And it just seemed like Serge was just kind of sloppy. Like, he's just, I don't know, a couple balls, like passes thrown to him inside the paint. He would fumble them. There were supposed to be layups. Turns into a turnover. You got sequences where Serge fails to screen effectively. It doesn't create separation for the Raptors' guards. And the Thunder actually do have some pretty athletic wing players and made a really good job of guarding their man and stuff like that. And, there was one key sequence in the fourth quarter. They're down the stretch. Serge Ibaka misses the first screen, tries to rescreen, and it gets called for a turnover because he's committing an offensive foul. And it was just like those small little things. It just wasn't quite there from Serge. You kind of need more than 12 points in a game like this from him. You can't have the backcourt do all the scoring. It worked for the Thunder, but it did not work for the Raptors because the Thunder, with all due respect to Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet, Shea and Chris Paul have more scoring talent than them. And you saw it tonight. Shea and Chris Paul combined for 57 points, and Lowry and VanVleet combined for 40. So you kind of need your front court to make up the difference there, and it didn't really happen. In terms of your KFC bucket of the game, the Raptors Over Everything podcast is brought to you by our official sponsor, Kentucky Fried Chicken. So watch the game. Watch the team get buckets with a side of buckets, like original recipe popcorn chicken tenders or hot wings. Order KFC.ca and get buckets before tip-off. So, the KFC bucket of the game. I would say it was probably the fourth quarter. Maybe one of the lone highlights from this game. But, the Thunder had completed this alley-oop going in the other way. Chris Paul finds someone as well for a lob. And Nerlens finishes the dunk. Hangs on the rim a little bit. And the Raptors go the other way. Terrence Davis comes off the screen with Chris Boucher. And Terrence Davis throws a lob, and Boucher, not only does he catch and dunk the ball, but he just dunked all over Darius Bazley, who was pointing at the Raptors bench after hitting the threes. Kind of funny. I don't even know who the guy is. Definitely a little bit of that Ben McLemore behavior, but, Boucher got him back, got a bit of revenge, and it was a great play. It was a great dunk. And actually, they completed that same sequence in the first quarter where Boucher, really got up there. There's something about watching Boucher dunk that's just very satisfying. The man's still skinny, and sometimes the guys just throw him such difficult lobs But and you just, when you're looking at it live and you're seeing the pass, you're like, there's no way, that's a bad pass. And then Boucher's arms just keep going and going and going and going and going up, and catches the ball, finishes. He always goes up strong. So, you know, that was good. And Boucher talked about it after the game. He said, you know, me and TD work on that all the time in practice. And finally he's throwing me those passes in the game. And, yeah, so that's your KFC bucket of the game right there. In terms of your three stars from tonight's game, I mean, I guess Fred, 20 points, 3 rebounds, 8 assists. I mean, he was a plus 3. You could tell I'm not totally sold on this. But okay, Fred gets the first star tonight, sure. Second star, I'll give it to Pat McCaw, maybe. 13 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 37 minutes. It's a difficult choice here. 5 of 9 from the field, 3 of 5 from deep. And then third star, I guess I'll give it to... I don't even know, man. This is a very disingenuous star, but I guess I'll give it to Kyle. 20 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal. The 6 turnovers from Kyle in 39 minutes was not great. He also did spend a lot of time in foul trouble and complaining to the referees and stuff like that. Whatever, that's just Kyle. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. Those are your three disingenuous stars of the game. I'm sorry. It just, I don't feel fully right giving them. But, you know, it's part of the segment, so you got to do it. In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award, tempted to give it to Baisley? Baisley? I don't even know, man. Bayleaf? I don't know what it is. I mean, whatever. But 12 points, 5 rebounds, he had 4 threes. The Raptors kept leaving him open by design. He hit enough of them. Okay. But actually, the guy I really want to give it to, the Nerlens Noel, who had 13 points, 4 rebounds, an assist, 3 steals, 3 blocks off the bench. It's the 3 steals and 3 blocks that really was impactful, because the Thunder were able to, you know, force a couple turnovers and score in transition. And, you know, that was pretty big for them, because offensively it was a struggle. It was a struggle. And Nerlens, not only was he good defensively in terms of just shutting down the paint and taking away the rim with his shot blocking and athleticism, but the 3 steals and 3 blocks just generate a lot of open run opportunities. And also, Nerlens was 5 of 5 from the field, 3 of 3 from the free throw line, so in 19 minutes. So there you go, Nerlens Noel. So that does it for the podcast. Again, it was a letdown game. It's unfortunate. Those happen. I wish it didn't, but, you know, they're human. They played a great game against the Celtics, and then they followed up with a dud. You know, it's only regrettable in the sense that, like, these are just winnable sequences, right? Like, the Raptors could have won against the Indiana Pacers if they hit a couple more free throws, if Serge Ibaka came up a little bit higher on Drew Holiday's brother, Aaron, and, yeah, they could have won that game. And you look at the game tonight, Terrence Davis commits a foul, maybe the 4 is overtime, something like that, I don't know. Or if the Raptors just execute a little bit better offensively. But they lose the game, whatever. Ultimately, it's like the second last game of 2019. Somehow the Raptors play again before the new year. They play on Christmas Eve against the Cavaliers, which I'm sure everyone in the building will be thrilled to be working that game on New Year's Eve to cover the Raptors and play the Cavs. But, yeah, you know, ultimately we're going to forget this game in like a week. So it is what it is. There was a letdown. They lost. It happens. They'll pick it back up against the Cavaliers. And I'll talk to you after that game. So thanks, forever, for listening. Thanks to KFC for sponsoring the podcast. And I'll be back on New Year's Eve. Woo.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with Host Red sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book Host Red sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Thank you. Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.